and Queensland.
They are small. I've lived here for ages, and you've probably come across more than a few, maybe without even realising. They're also producers of a highly prized product that could have major health benefits for you and your family. They are native stingless bees. New research out of Southeast Queensland has found a new reason to get excited about your local native bee population and the honey that they make. Dr. Mary Fletcher and Toby Smith from the University of Queensland have more. Thanks for joining us, guys. Mary, can I just begin with you first? What exactly have you discovered?
Good afternoon, Kat. Look, we're really impressed with this research. It was quite simple when you look at it now, but it was interesting to do. The stingless bee honey has long been claimed to have a sugar called maltose in it. And when we used our high technology chemistry equipment, we found that it really wasn't maltose at all. And it took us a while to find what it really was, because it's a very unusual sugar. It's something called trihalulose. But it's an isomer of sucrose. Sucrose is the normal sugar, your table sugar. This one's a low GI sugar, and the stingless bee honey is just full of it.
Trihalulose. That's a word that I hope.
Yeah, it's.
But what's so
good? It's a chemical name.
I get low GI. I hear low GI bandied about all the time in relation to diet and nutrition. But really, what is good about trihalulose?
Trihalulose, doesn't get hydrolyzed in the small intestine. When you eat the sugar, when you eat normal table sugar, it gets hydrolyzed in your gut to release glucose and fructose, the two smaller sugars that make up sucrose. So trihalulose, on the other hand, gets hydrolyzed very slowly, so the glucose doesn't get released as fast, and that's why you get a high blood sugar. The glucose level goes up when you eat table sugar. With trihalulose, it goes up much slower and has a sustained period of sugar in the blood.
Okay. So is it possible then, now that you've identified this in the native bee, native stingless bee honey, to sort of extract that as its own sugar product?
It is possible. In fact, that's how we actually identified it in the end. We actually did do the extraction and separation. It is possible, but you could just eat stingless bee honey. It's a nutritional thing in its own right.
What could it mean for you from a health perspective? Before we talk about it, the market for it, what does it mean from a health perspective? Native bee stingless honey now really is definitely really good for you, is what I'm picking up.
Well, there's long been claims about it having antioxidant capacity, the low GI, anti-diabetic. One of the things we've found with trihalulose is it's akaryotic. Strange word, but it means it doesn't rot your teeth. So normal sugar you eat, you can get caries in your teeth. Trihalulose doesn't do that.
So now that you've found this and you can say, yes, definitely, science shows that native bees honey is full of trihalulose, and that's really good for you, what does that mean for the native honeybee market?
They've always marketed their honey as being unique, and now we can say, really, it is unique. It's the only food in the world that contains large amounts of trihalulose. It's not only Australian native bees. We had collaborators from Malaysia. We looked in the Malaysian stingless bee honey. They also have the same sugar. And we've had one sample from Brazil. They have related bees, and yeah, it's the same sugar in their honey. So it's a global thing. It's really good for stingless bee honey.
It is really good. Dr. Mary Fletcher with you from the University of Queensland. She's a chemist who has made this new discovery about the unique composition of Australian and other native stingless bees' honey, trihalulose, the wonder sugar that they've found in this honey. Tobias Smith, also with UQ, is a beekeeper and bee researcher. So, Tobias, tell me from your perspective, what does this discovery mean?
I think this discovery just further demonstrates how useful these bees are to us in Australia and around the world. So, as Mary said, people keep these in Australia and in lots of tropical regions around the world. There's industries growing here in Australia and overseas. And at the moment, that's mostly backyard hobbyists keeping these bees as pets. Some people like to get a bit of honey. Some people grow them commercially. But this extra good stuff now that we know is in this honey, this extra, I guess, marketing quality and health quality, I think it's just going to mean the industry is going to keep going the way that it's been going the last few years, and that's just growing dramatically every year.
Well, I feel like I really need to get a native beehive in my yard. I've been meaning to do it for ages. Now's clearly the time. So what does it take to get one set up? How can you get involved?
So not much at all. These days, we're lucky. There's a range of different commercial sellers who sell a box of stingless bees. The bees are already in there. You take custodianship of that and you put it in your garden or your veranda or any safe place away from the summer sun. And really, that's about it. You choose a safe position and these bees just take care of themselves in that hive, in your garden, doing their thing. And then really, the management is optional. People might like to try and get a little bit of honey each year or make more colonies, daughter colonies from that. But we're talking about smaller quantities of honey than you might hear about with European honeybees. You know, a European honeybee keeper in Brisbane, if they have a good year, they might get 50 or 60 kilos of honey. We're talking about having a good year and getting maybe 1 kilo of honey.
Wow.
But I think Mary's work is further justifying why that 1 kilo of honey is very special.
It's worth it.
So,
yeah. How much would it cost for a kilo of native honey?
Well, pre this finding, about $200 a kilo, if you're lucky enough to find someone who will sell it to you, which, you know, this is not a product that you can buy in shops.
No,
with this finding and as it becomes, I guess, better known, I expect the price to go up slightly. We'll see. An industry around the sale of this honey is not yet something that we have. We've got an industry around the growth of these bees so far.
Because obviously we understand the value in bees from a pollinating perspective, and we've been hearing a lot lately about the toll that climate change, bushfires and the like, extended periods of dry have had on various bee populations right across Queensland and Australia. How are our native stingless bees holding up right now, Tobias?
Look, there's two ways to think about native stingless bees, and we've got to separate the keeping of these bees, so usually keeping them in urban or agricultural environments, and these bees in the wild. Now, unfortunately, we know very little about these bees in the wild, how their populations are doing, but I think it's fairly safe to assume that, you know, we know a lot about some of these processes that threaten biodiversity. You just mentioned some of them, bushfires, land clearing and things like that. These bees probably suffer from those, but we don't have data. If you look in the keeping of these bees, though, there's no decline. It's going up and up and up. More and more people are keeping these bees in boxes, and these colonies are being produced by other beekeepers, so it's not taking them from the wild. And we estimate that there's probably, give or take a little bit, about 50,000 colonies of these bees in boxes on the east coast of Australia. And, you know, next year it will probably be a few thousand more than that, or tens of thousands more.
With a super duper sugar product in train. Mary, can I come back to you? Dr. Mary Fletcher on ABC Radio Brisbane and Gold Coast from UQ. You've been listening to Tobias Smith as well, who's a beekeeper with UQ. And Mary, you have made this discovery about this incredible product, trihalulose, in the honey produced by native stingless bees. I'm really interested because you're a chemist. What does it mean for you as a chemist to make a discovery like this, you know, this naturally occurring super, I don't want to say superfood, or do I say superfood? I mean, how do you describe it and what does it feel like?
We're hoping to make it into a superfood or a functional food. There's a lot more studies to be done on that side too. But it's very exciting. Well, look, that we had a whole team of people that we've just published the work in scientific reports, but you know, there's a whole string of students involved. It's been exciting for everyone because it's seemingly so simple. It's a sugar. You wouldn't think that a sugar could be that difficult, but it really was because it's an unusual sugar. It required very high-tech equipment to actually analyse the structure and determine it. So we were all very satisfied when we found that it was the same sugar in each of those honeys. So, yeah, it's very exciting for everyone.
Quite an achievement. And do you keep bees yourself, Mary?
I... must claim that I've actually ordered a hive, stingless beehive, so it will be arriving shortly, but it's not quite here. Apparently they're very popular, so there's a waiting list.
I'm sure there is. Mary, a real pleasure to speak with you. Congratulations to you and your team on the discovery of trehalulose and the superpower of our native stingless bee honey. Well done, and here's to finding out a little bit more. Can't wait for that hive to arrive.
Thank you.
Tobias, thank you very much. I'm sure you've got several hives, obviously. Are you ordering more too?
I have several hives, and I'm constantly growing new hives, and we're growing more at the university too. But I'm excited about every single one the same.
This is great news. Guys, thank you very much. Tobias Smith from the University of Queensland alongside Dr. Mary Fletcher. How's that for your good news story for today? My name is Kat. It's coming up to 1:30.
Here at the ABC, we now feature audio description in a range of programs.